never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. It's a beautiful out across that river to where my fate gonna end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, and I will take that heavenly flight. It's a beautiful land I'm longing for.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see all of you. Y'all right pretty. Amen. Amen. I thank you for being here tonight. Take your Bibles, open to 1 Thessalonians, and what a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, to see all of you and the friends I hadn't seen in a while, but then for Brother Monroe and Miss Connie to come, and Sister Lamb, and they all the way from Op, Alabama. Brother Monroe said he came here in 1969. That's where he met Roy, where he met Brother Jesse Norris. And we've been together a good long time. I've been with Brother Monroe several times. He's been with me. I kind of finagled around, kept on pushing him till he asked Miss Connie to marry him. And we was at the wedding. I don't think I'd done the wedding, but was at the wedding. And then when me and Regina renewed our vows 25 years, he come to North Carolina, and he married us again after 25 years. And I told him, I said, Monroe, I went and got a ring, the whole deal. And I said, I pulled up in the driveway, went out to eat dinner, and come back up in that driveway. And I reached in and got that ring, and I proposed to her all over again and give it a ring. And she didn't say nothing. She just sat there and looked at me and looked at that ring and thought a few minutes. And I said, I'll be honest with you, I thought she was going to reject me. After 25 years, he says she ain't gonna reject you. She's too fouled up. You got all them young'uns already. So, but it has. I appreciate Monroe. Love him in the Lord. Miss Connie, they are special friends and a blessing to us. The songs tonight, Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and kind of gave an assurance of what I told our friends this morning. I've been praying about this meeting that God would encourage us, that God would just excite us about serving Him again. And there's nothing that stirs my heart more than the Word of God and truth from the Word of God. And what a blessing it is. Look in your Bibles, please, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And let me begin reading with verse number 13, a passage that you're very familiar with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now hold your place there and turn back to 1 Corinthians. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, deals with the same theme. And he adds a little bit more detail to what he's just said about the resurrection. Notice in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for touching Brittany and our brother who just sang. Thank you for the congregational songs that our brother, Lord, you laid on his heart to sing, and the dear lady who played the piano tonight so beautifully. I thank you, Lord, for this assembly of God's people from other churches, and as we gather for the gospel gathering once again. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would minister to my heart and the heart of these, our friend. Our Father, I've come to obey you tonight, and I pray, God, for your power and your anointing. I pray you'd speak. Not me, but God, you'd speak. And Lord, I want to thank you for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts about that truth now. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a reader of the Bible, if you study the Word of God, you may think whenever somebody talks about the rapture of the church, this is it. This is the one phrase that talks about it in the Bible. Maybe a few others sprinkled in there. But if you've read the New Testament carefully, you'll understand there's basically two great themes in the New Testament. Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and he's coming again. And my dear friend, that's what it's all about. Jesus is coming. Paul and the other apostles believed in the return of our Lord, the rapture of the church, the personal return of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a motivating factor. John says if you have that hope in you, you're purified yourself. My dear friend, sometimes we know things, but we don't live things. Sometimes we studied over the years, but it gets to be just another Sunday school lesson, just another sermon. But I'm telling you right now, he's a coming. Just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's told us some things here. And Paul, when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he tells them some things about the return of our Lord. The Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which were alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. My dear friend, that's going to really happen. I'll tell you right now, we was talking about Brother Jesse Norris. I remember when we was down the road, I don't remember the name of the church, but it's a little church about our size here tonight, and it was just about as packed, maybe a few more. Brother Jesse is preaching a revival, and he'd preached on the return of the Lord. And it didn't have a central air conditioner. It had an air conditioner up high right here on this side, and I happened to be on that side. And they, when he got to praying at the end of the service, been preaching on the return of the Lord, God got real in that place. People got to worshiping. They got to singing. And I got to doing like this. And I tell you, it was a blessing. I said, Jesus is coming. Thank God Jesus is coming. And I was a little, not quite as heavy as I am now. But I just kind of jumped up one time, and that air conditioner blew right in my face, and I opened my eyes. I thought I was leaving out. I thought we was gone, and it'd been all right if we'd left. But Paul said to the Thessalonican church, because of that great truth, you ought to use that, those words, comfort one another with these words. Now let me talk to you just a few minutes about what comfort means. It's not a There's a difference between being consoling and comforting. Consoling means I have compassion or show sympathy or empathy with somebody. They're going through a tough time, and I go and I put my arm around them, and I love on them, and I pray for them, and I tell you, I know you're going through a tough time. But that's not what this word comfort means. It is the word of exhorting or motivating. He said, here ought to be the motivating factor of you loving Jesus in 2024. Jesus is coming. Yeah. Praise God. What's going to happen November 2nd when we vote? I don't have no idea. But it really don't matter because Jesus is coming. Yeah. Jesus is coming. It is a motivator to keep us doing something for God. And he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the comfort of his coming. In this particular passage, I see the comfort of his personal return. You think about that. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's got millions, millions, and millions of angels. He could have get us there any way he wanted to. But when he comes in the rapture of the church, Jesus himself is coming for his bride. He's coming for you. You know what it tells me? He wants me and you to be where he's at. He prayed that John 17, that great high priestly prayer. He said, Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. Now you think about that. I've been wanting to get down here. Lord, let me come last year for a little while, but this gospel gathering, I had never got to be in it before. And what a blessing to be here with Brother Larry Chain and with all of you and Brother Paul and these churches from around the area. What a blessing to have Monroe to drive all the way down. But you think about this. I wanted to get here, but he wants me to be there. He wants me to be in heaven so bad he came and hung on a cross. And the Bible said that on that cross, he looked beyond that cross, the Bible said, and he saw the travail of his soul. And he was satisfied. What did he see? He saw my salvation, your salvation. And he saw that day ultimately when we'll get to be where he is and behold him in all of his glory. It is a personal return. I thank God for the comfort of that he's coming because he loves us and he died for us and he wants us to be where he's at. And thank God he's coming back to get us, the comfort of his personal coming. You just think about that. I don't know who you, your hero or somebody, but if they wanted to see you, they'd more than likely send somebody to get you. But he loves you so much, he came to Calvary to die for you. But he's also coming back to get you. Amen. Can you think about that? Think about that. There is the comfort of his personal coming. Jesus is coming. And there's that comfort of his personal coming. But then in this passage of Scripture, there is that personal comfort of a promised resurrection. He said this, the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel on the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. The cemetery over here, all around this area, where your loved ones are at, your mama, your daddy, granddaughter, your family, They're coming out of that if they know the Lord. And they're coming out first. There's a promise of that resurrection. Jesus is coming. When we think about our little girl, Christy, that died with leukemia, and y'all who've known us all these years, our oldest daughter's name was Christy. And she died just before she's 3 years old with leukemia. And after she died, we went to the cemetery. Regina always liked to go to the cemetery, and I'd go with her. But I really didn't have a lot of desire just to go to the cemetery. Because on the day that we buried, I sat in my car at the house, and I said, God, you got to help me with this. I don't know what to do with this. You've called me to preach. I surrendered to preach just a month or two before that. And then a little girl died. And my Bible just fell open to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you might be also. I'm going to tell you right now, God fix us. And one of these days, she's a coming out of that grave. I heard of a preacher years ago who traveled worldwide and preached in huge places. His wife had died just a few years ago. Dr. Lee Robertson, when I was in Tennessee Temple, told the story and said that somebody asked that old preacher one day, you've traveled around, you've seen beautiful places all over this country. Where would you like to be when Jesus comes? He said, I want to be in a little graveyard down in Central Florida. And they said, why? He said, that's where my wife's body's at. He said, I'd sure like to be there when the rapture occurs. I'd sure like to see her come out of that grave. Oh, my dear friend, there's that promise. That's a comfort to me and a comfort to you that your loved ones are coming out of the grave. But listen, there's also a comfort of a perfecting change. He said in 1 Corinthians, I want to show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. Everybody's not going to die. And then when he's talking about sleep, he's not talking about soul sleep. He's talking about that body being in the grave. Yeah. To be absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Yeah. When you leave out of here, when you die, you get to go to be with the Lord in his presence. But my dear friend, that body will be in that ground. But for me and you who are alive, if he were to come tonight and you know the Lord, Paul said, I'll show you a mystery. We'll not all be asleep. But he said, when the Lord comes back, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You're going to get a brand new body. You're going to have a brand new body. I don't know if you've ever thought much about the resurrection, but if you ever get up in the morning and hurt, raise your hand. Amen. The best thing about being old is waking up the next morning and see what's hurting. I hurt places I didn't even know I had. But my dear friend, there's coming a day of a resurrection and a perfecting promise. And that is that he's going to change us. The Bible said in 1 Peter that we'll have a body like unto his glorious body. And 1 Corinthians said it'll be a body that is not corruptible. Some of our friends in here have battled COVID 4 different times. But your resurrection body will not be subject to disease. You could waller in COVID virus and wouldn't get it. There's no sickness. That body you're going to get it is going to be a likened to his glorious body. That's a motivator to think about. You'll have a brand new body one of these days. Oh, listen. He said that body will be incorruptible. It won't ever get old. We're getting old. I ain't as old as Kathy because she just confessed to me a while ago. I never would have thought it. I thought, sure, I was older than Kathy. But our bodies, I don't care how much Maybelline you use or whatever kind of vitamins you take, you're dying every day. But you're going to have a body that won't ever die. That incorruptible body, my dear friend, won't ever get tired. You'll be able to go and go and go. There's no night there. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting to the point now when the sun starts going down, I start getting sleepy. I told him when it got to church the other day, I said, man, I worked in the yard all day and I'm nearly about dead. He said, I'll tell you what your problem is. I said, what? He said, all day. He said, at your age, you don't do all day things. You do half day things. You do half a day and still you wear out. But my dear friend, there's coming a day that you won't ever get tired again. But you know what? Think about that body. Think about that glorious body you're going to have. It's a body like in his glorious body. And he makes this statement. we'll know even as we're known. Amen. Christ, God knows every person. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And do you know you're going to have knowledge akin to that when you get to heaven? But in this particular area is what blesses me. I'll know even as I'm known. I used to remember everybody's name. We have a pretty good sized church. And on Sunday morning, people come in visiting. I meet them, I greet them, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. And then when I get to the pulpit, we sing, and we get ready to welcome visitors and all, I get up and I say, it's good to have so-and-so, and good to have so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so visiting with her. I can't remember my name half the time now. But I used to call all the visitors' name if I ever heard it one time. I'm not like that now. But when you get to heaven, you won't have to look around and find out who Paul is. Amen, you'll know him.
Yes.
You'll know him. You won't have to ask who Moses is. Who's that over there? Is that Elijah? You'll know him. Bible said you'll know even as you're known. You'll know every person in heaven. You'll know. I ain't never met my grandma and granddaddy on both sides. They were both, all four of them were dead before I was ever born. But I know one thing. My granddaddy on my mama's side was a preacher. And I know one thing. When I get to heaven, I won't have to look around and see if I could find him. I'll know him. You'll know even as you're known. That's going to be a blessed thought. It's a body that won't ever get tired. You ever get tired? It's a body, my dear friend, that he says this. It's a body that's incorruptible. And it's immortal. No dying. You won't ever die after you leave this world. You won't ever die. No more death. No more funerals. No tombstones in heaven. People live forever and forever. You can't eat because our Lord, after resurrection, he ate fish and honey. I believe And the salt sea's going to dry up the sea, and that salt's for the salt and the fish with. I've done volunteered for that ministry, catching them fish during the millennial reign of Christ. But you know what? It's going to be a blessed thought. Jesus is coming again. I'm talking about it ain't play-like. It ain't wonder. He's coming again. And when he comes, your loved one's coming out of that grave. Listen to what it says. The Lord himself should ascend from here with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. The dead in Christ arise first, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes.
I preached some time ago at a big rally. I've got a friend there. He owns a big construction business, but he had a boy to get killed. He's riding a lawnmower on the shoulder of the road. Somebody run over and killed him. And the boy, he had a hard time with that for a long time, but God gave him victory. And then God gave him a burden to minister to families that lose children, whether it's drug addiction or whatever it is. And he and some other guys ministered to him. And he put a great big old 40-foot cross up there on 401 outside of town called Fuquay Verena. And he got some benches out there, and they have rally services. And whenever there's people that have children that die, he goes and ministers to them and brings them out there. And he brings in all these other people who've had children to die and brings in singers and preachers. He had me to go preach to him one time, and he said there'd be a pretty good crowd there. I thought, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50 people. I got there, it's probably 350 people there. There were 4 news cams there from local television stations. You see, there was a teenage girl, and she was a good girl. But she got mixed up with the wrong crowd. Got involved with some people, and they gave her drugs. Got the wrong kind of boyfriend, and he ended up killing her. 16 years old. And they were there because they hadn't had the trial and finished the trial. But they sang and testified, and people testified, and then he asked me to preach, and I preached on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I began to quote that verse, that the dead in Christ arise first, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Because I got to thinking, I hear people say all the time, I don't want to see nobody when I get to heaven but Jesus, but I want to see Christy. I want to see her. I want to be honest with you. Nothing even lied about. Lord knows my heart. I want to see her.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I think about it all the time. Every morning, when I walk down the aisle, we got a portrait somebody drew of her for us. And I see her every morning when I wake up. But I'm going to see her. Jesus is coming. And it could be today. It could be tonight. I'm going to get to see her again. But I got to feeling guilty about it because everybody else was saying they want to see Jesus. They didn't want to see nobody else. And I was preaching that night. Boy, God broke a little truth on me. The verse says this. The dead in Christ are going to rise first.
Yes.
then we which are alive remaining shall be caught up together. 1 Corinthians says, I'm going to be changed. They're going to be changed. They'll have a brand new body. I'll have a brand new body. But we get to meet them in the clouds. The Lord knows how much you miss your mama. The Lord knows how much you miss your little girl or your granddaughter or your husband or your wife. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you a brand new body, give them a brand new body. We'll get to meet in heaven, in the clouds. Once we meet and have a family reunion, that's the hope. That's the hope. That's the comfort of a blessed reunion when we meet in the clouds to meet. Then we meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a blessed thought. But in this passage of scriptures, not only that comfort of his personal return, of a promised resurrection, of a perfecting change, and that promised and blessed, precious reunion with our loved ones, but there's going to be a perfect and a forever time with the Lord. He said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's real to me now. He's inside of me. I can feel him. Sometime it's just like it's just me and him. But there's sometime it's distance. It'll seem like it's not him. It's got to be me. I can pray sometime. It's almost like if I open my eyes, I could see him. But sometime I pray and it seems like my heaven's brass. I love those times when he's real and the Holy Ghost of God's moving and you just can't hardly breathe. He's so real. But it hurts me, grieves my heart when I can't feel it. But there's coming a time when you'll forever be with the Lord. He said, we'll see him as he is. You get to see him face to face. Nail-pierced hands, nail-pierced feet. You'll get to see him. What a wonderful, blessed thought to comfort one another with. To encourage one another with. Jesus is coming again. Listen, he said in 1 Corinthians, if you know that, you ought to do this. You'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you really believed he's coming, you'd do that. You'd be established and you'd be faithful and you'd keep on keeping on for Jesus. And then he said in 1 Thessalonians, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes. Got somebody that's sick? Jesus is coming again. He might come before dark. Might come before we leave this service. You got problems in your family? Jesus is coming again. You got friends, my dear friend, that are in trouble financially in other ways? Jesus is coming again. Listen, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It ought to be the motivating factor in everything that we do to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Our brother sang those songs a while ago about when we all get to heaven. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? You won't have to worry about getting out of this service. You won't have to worry about being uncomfortable. You'll just be there for all eternity. In Psalms it said this, in thy presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Forever and forever and forever. Jesus is coming again. He's really coming, my dear friend. And you and I ought to comfort one another. Here's our responsibility. Brother Chris, I've been trying to figure how I could help us tonight. Okay, will you come sit right here just a minute? Here's Brother Chris. You mind sitting on that? Chris, you having a hard time. You're not well physically. Not all the time. And so I'm going to just tell you, I love you, buddy. I love you. That's consolation. I'm going to pray for you. That's consolation. Yeah, things ain't going good at the church, and that might be going good at church. I'm just making this up. You're a little bit discouraged. How many of you have been discouraged and you're honest about it? Raise your hand. Praise God. I know you're discouraged, but it's all right. It's all right. It'll be all right. No, I don't want to do that. Here's what he said. In these last days, because Jesus is coming, I come over here. Brother Chris, how you doing, buddy? Praise God. I love you, man. Jesus loves you, died for you. Did you know that? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Let me get up here a minute. Let's tell you something. Jesus is coming. Amen. You know what? You've been having trouble with your stomach. Amen. But Jesus is coming. Amen. You could get a brand new stomach. Amen. Probably a little one. When you get to heaven, you're going to have abs. Amen. Me and Chris got abs now. It's just one big one. But But listen, Jesus is coming. Praise God. Amen. Them folks at the church, they love you. They love the Lord. But they just flesh. But Jesus is coming. All that will be behind us. We won't have to worry about that no more. Listen, I know, you know, things, if nobody wants to get saved, don't seem like don't nobody want to go to church. But Jesus is coming. Amen. I want to be faithful. Amen. Praise God. I want to just keep on keeping on. And I tell you what, Jesus, we're just going to keep on. You know why? Because Jesus is coming.
Amen.
He's coming again. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, buddy. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Jesus is coming. Yeah. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I had just a little simple thought in my heart tonight. Jesus is coming again. Yes. And that's a comfort to us. It's a motivator. Oh, listen, how long is this going to last? How long this world, can it get any worse? Oh, yeah, it can get worse. Wicked men will wax worse and worse. But Jesus is coming. Yes. It's going to all straighten out here in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just like that. It'll be straightened out. Jesus Christ is going to come. We'll leave out of here. You'll have a brand new body. No more pain. Our brother left his hearing aids. I got hearing aids too. God blessed it, and I got hearing aids. But I keep forgetting to put them in. And so I'm going to get me some of that medicine they advertise on television for, you know, for remembering things. The only problem is I can't never remember what it is. I get to the Walmart, and I can't remember what I'm supposed to buy. But you know what? Those days are going to be over with. We'll know even as we're known. Think about that wonderful thought of the fact that we'll get to be in heaven for all eternity. Hallelujah. We'll worship Him without any interference. In this building tonight, your mind has wandered. There's been times you thought things in this building you ought not even thought. But there's coming a day when you'll have a perfect body and a perfect mind. And you'll be worshiping Him and focused on Him all the time. Satan won't ever bother you again because Jesus is coming again. I tell you what I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to just keep on keeping on because Jesus is coming again. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. One of these days we're leaving out of here. If you know the Lord, He's coming to get us. And it's going to be a wonderful time. Wherefore, comfort. Don't console. Don't pity people. Don't say it's all right. Just sit down and pout. Let's leave out of here with a shout. Let's just keep on keeping on for Jesus. Comforting means we're going to encourage one another to keep on keeping on for Jesus because Jesus is coming again. Amen. Maranatha, He's coming again. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Amen. I've tried to mind the Holy Spirit of God. It's been different. But I want to just tell you, Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. Could be at any moment He'll come. With a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, our loved ones will come out of that grave, and we'll get to meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these things. I want to encourage your churches, just keep on keeping on for Jesus. Jesus is coming. I don't want to be sitting around pouting. I don't want to be feeling sorry for myself. I don't want to be complaining about what's going on. I don't want to be complaining about what I have and what I don't have. I want to be thankful and rejoicing and magnifying His name because Jesus is coming again. Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost to speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I've tried to obey You. And I pray God the Spirit of the living God will move in hearts. Move in hearts now. Lord, I pray that God, that some who may have come in, good men, good women, but they just wore out. They've been tired. They've been sick. Lord, seems like nothing goes right. Everything at the house is breaking down. The cars are breaking down. We've got loved ones that won't get right with God. We've got children and grandchildren away from God. And, oh, God, we pray and earnestly seek Your face and don't seem to come. But we know Jesus is coming again. Lord, I want You to find me faithful. I want You to find me excited about serving You. And believe in You, and that You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I'm able to ask or think. Oh God, would You breathe on us here tonight this simple little truth. Jesus is coming again. Wherefore, comfort, encourage, exhort, motivate one another with these things that Jesus is coming again. Brother, Pastor, would it be all right? I want our song leader to come. And that song about the Jubilee, Did we sing that a while ago? I want us to sing that again. I remember when we used to sing that Monroe down here at the camp meeting around here, over Oak Grove here. And son, some of you get plumb loose. I mean, it get real to you that you're fixing to go to the big jubilee in the sky. I want to encourage you tonight. Listen, Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming again. He's really coming again. Let's keep on keeping on for Jesus. We're going to the jubilee in the sky. Let's stand together and sing this. And I want you to have liberty and worship the Lord. Amen. This may be the last chance you get to raise your hand in the house of God. Last chance you get to say, praise the Lord. Last chance you get to say, thank you, Jesus. You're coming again. Let's sing that jubilee song. Will you do that, preacher, brother? Thank you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. In the sky. Amen. Amen. Holy Ghost of God, breathe. In the sky. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you're coming. Bless you, Holy Ghost God. Hey, come on. Please do it. Encourage your people. The sky. Brother Larry, God bless you, buddy.